Good morning. Today's daf is daf nun beis in Avodah Zarah. We're at the Mishnah on nun alef amud beis 51b. We begin. Matzah b'rosh amos k'sus al kelim harei elu mutarim. You find on the head of the Avodah Zarah money or k'sus, some sort of clothing or some sort of utensil on top of the head of the Avodah Zarah. That's mutar, that's fine. Even though it looks like it's there as an accessory, so accessories, it seems from the Mishnah, accessories are fine. If you have a cluster of grapes or some sort of wheat, wine, oil, or flour, anything that could be offered on top of the Mizbech, that's going to be Aser. And that falls under the category of takrovis avodah zarah, something which is offered to the avodah zarah. So here we have one pasuk. The one pasuk says, "Vatiru shikrutzehem ve'es gilulehem eitz ve'even kesef ve'zahav asherimahem." One pasuk describes the disgusting nature of avodah zarah, and then it lists four different types of materials: wood, stone, metal and gold. I'm sorry, silver and gold. Good. And then we have another pasuk that says that you should not want neither the silver, the gold that is on top of them. So in one pasuk we're describing four different materials, and another pasuk we're describing only two materials. Okay, so when we're talking about that which is with the Avodah Zarah, accessories to Avodah Zarah, we have two different prepositions. If you look at the pasuk in at the end of the Sefer Devarim, it says Eitz ve'even chesef v'zav asher imahem, that's together with them. If you look at the pasuk in Ekev, it says lo sachmon chesef v'zav aleihem, on them. So the Gemara says it's got to be the same, meaning that just like on top of them, you only put something that is annoyed, that is an adornment to them. Same thing that's imahem, the same thing is true with imahem. The Gemara says, can't you just simply say the other way around? That it's aleihem dumyadi imahem, meaning that whatever's with the Avodah Zarah doesn't matter. As long as it's within proximity of the Avodah Zarah, it's aser, just like the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, imkein lo yima aleihem. So then the Gemara says, if that's true, then we should never have the pasuk aleihem. Aleihem is there to tell us it has to accessorize. It has to be specifically for the beautification of the Avodah Zarah. Then and only then is it going to be aser. Okay, so far so good. What we've seen is that accessories to the Avodah Zarah, specifically something that makes the Avodah Zarah more beautiful, that is like Avodah Zarah, and that's going to be aser. Now the Gemara says, let's look back at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you have money or clothing or utensils, that's fine. And even if it's on the Avodah Zarah, right? Matzah Berosho. The Mishnah describes something that's on the head of Avodah Zarah. So most davish al noy, so the Gemara is bothered, right? It's a davish al noy. Ami de Be'er Aviana b'kis kasher v'tal lo b'tzavaram. So the Gemara says it's not money. It's kis. It's a pocketbook, a purse. It's a wallet. Kis kasher v'tal lo b'tzavaram. It's hanging on the neck of the Avodah Zarah. Gemara says that's not adornment. That's not noy. The Gemara then goes on to the next thing in the Mishnah. So davish al noy. Same thing with clothing. Ami de Be'er Aviana b'kis mikupeles. No, he didn't put a sweater, right? No one made a sweater for the Avodah Zarah. No one, right? It was a garment folded on top of the head of the Avodah Zarah, not for noy. Kli davar shel noyu, amar papa deschifa le mashkilta areshe. They overturned what's it called?
Washing cup.
Yeah, what's that thing? Yeah. I think the old-fashioned thing they used to wash their clothing with.
Washing board.
There was an old washing board that was put on top of the head of the utensil. Meaning, in all of our cases of the Mishnah, you have to say the following. The Gemara gives a new kimta for each one of the three things mentioned in the Mishnah. it can't, it's not an accessory. Just by virtue of you looking at it and you're like, that's weird. Once you have that reaction, immediately you know it's not there for accessory and you could take it. And the point then of our mission is that just because something's on top of Avodah Zarah does not mean that it is part and parcel of the Avodah Zarah, and it does not mean that's an accessory to the Avodah Zarah. It has to look like a complementary piece to the Avodah Zarah, then and only then is it going to be Asar. Let's say they make kilkalin. Now kilkalin, says Rashi over here, that's curtains. Now kilkalin is not the normal word that's used for curtains, and Rashi says, yeah, exactly. We don't want to use a normal word. Kilkalin mechitzihi Rashi. Rashi's a little bit lower than where we are in the Gemara. Mechitzihi prusa lifnei avodas kochavim v'kilkalin hu kinui shel kalayim. Again, we do this throughout all of Masechet Avodah Zarah. We've mentioned this many times. We come up with pejorative nicknames. Right? Here in the world of Avodah Zarah, we want nicknames. We want degrading nicknames. So, really... Huh? Kalayim is a curtain.
Oh.
And instead of calling it Kalayim, the Gemara opts to call it Kilkalim, which means destructive. Okay. So, the Koshu Lifnim and Akalkalam Fila Maimu Melech Aser. Even if it's Maimu Melech, it's going to be Aser. So, if you create a partition for the Avodah Zarah, anything behind the curtain is going to be Aser. Now, it's what? It's an accessory. It's. Rashi says it's more than accessory, right? Dalola noihu kevin dechein pininenu have takrovis. We assume anything behind the curtain is takrovis of Avodah Zarah. Okay, right? And that makes sense because noi, it has to be a complementary piece to the Avodah Zarah. Water, salt, not necessarily. So it's kein pinim. It's something that is offered to the Avodah Zarah. Chutz lekokalim. I'm sorry. Right. Chutz lekokalim. So what if it's outside the curtain? So now we got to go do the accessories. Davar shel noy aser, sheino shel noy mutar. So then it has to be a complementary piece to the Avodah Zarah. I'm Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina naktinan. Here's a tradition we have. The word naktinan literally means to grab or to take hold of. The Gemara uses it often when it says that here's a tradition. I don't have a pasuk for this, I don't have a sort. It's just a tradition. In kilkalin lo le pa'or ve lo le markulis. When we talk about a weird Avodah Zarah, pa'or and markulis. Pa'or is where you defecate in front of the Avodah Zarah, and markulis is where you throw stones at this particular Avodah Zarah. There's no halacha of kilkalin. Now, what does that mean? Lamai elam adafil panim kechutz dame visharei. What do you want to tell me? That panim is like chutz, meaning that even though something's behind the curtain, it's not going to be takrovis. Hashta pa'ure mipa'arin kamei. Mainu melech lo mekaravin alei. Look, you'll defecate in front of it. You won't offer a little water, a little salt. And again, these arguments, they're funny. These arguments, you know, we don't know, we don't understand the Avodah Zarah. We just know how they worship it. So, it's just hard arguments to understand, being that we really don't understand the nature of the Avodah Zarah. But if they're going to defecate in front of it, certainly a little water, a little salt, that's also, it's not out of the question. So the Gemara says it means like this. It means that, we're going to go the other direction, that it, even though it's outside of the curtain, that it still could very well be takrovas Avodah Zarah. Curtains don't mean anything. Rashi at the very end of the sugya writes, "Umitzarei sharei kol avodaso derech bizayon." Look, when you're talking about markulis and pa'or, and pa'or certainly understand a lot better, the whole nature of the avoda is a disgusting, degrading act. The kokalan havitznius ulakavod. The whole reason why you put up curtains in general is because you want a little privacy. Hilkach lo shaychi bevelo mafseke. But over here, curtains don't mean anything because it's just such a degrading, demoralizing act. The even you putting up curtains is at best ceremonial, and it has no legal significance, no legal status. Okay, period. Okay, so we have so far in the Mishnah covered accessories to the Avodah Zarah. And when we're talking about accessorizing to an Avodah Zarah, it has to be a complementary piece. If it's not a complementary piece to the Avodah Zarah, it doesn't by definition become I don't know how to what to call this category. It's not. It's not. It's not Tekrovis Avodah Zarah. Noi Avodah Zarah. I guess that's the category we put it in. Okay, and finally now, not finally, but we move on to a much larger discussion. We're going to talk about Bittul. Sorry. We're going to talk about the formation of Avodah Zarah, but before doing that, one other thing, and that is something that's dedicated to Avodah Zarah, right? There's a lot of different categories that we could be talking about. We've just got talking about accessories to Avodah Zarah. We spoke yesterday about Takrovis Avodah Zarah, something which is offered to Avodah Zarah. Now we're going to be talking about something which is dedicated to Avodah Zarah. Now you'll remember Mem Dalin, not that long ago, Mem Dalin Amud Beis, we had the story of Rabbi Gamliel and the bathhouse. Rabbi Gamliel went to a particular bathhouse and Proklo said to him, you know, Aphrodites is right outside. The statue for Aphrodites is right outside. What are you doing here in the bathhouse? Right? You remember that? Mm-hmm. And that was back on Mem Dalin Amud Beis, and that covered from the top to the bottom of the page. So here, the Mishnah is going to be discussing this very topic about something dedicated to the Avodah Zarah. So you'll remember, we already saw this rule mentioned back on Mem Dalin Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to repeat it over here, and Ein Hekdesh L'Avodah Zarah. There's no such thing. No such thing as dedicating something to Avodah Zarah. We have a concept of hekdesh, which means that I could take any object that's in front of me right now, pen, pencil, key, anything, and I could dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash, right? And that means that by definition, it becomes property of the Beis HaMikdash. And it has kedusha. And if somebody else uses it, he's mo'al behekdesh. He's misappropriating something that doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, right? I'm back on Mem Dalin, as we're going to be discussing right now. Ein hekdesh l'avodah zarah. There's no concept of hekdesh by avodah zarah. So if I dedicate something to avodah zarah, that doesn't work. Okay. To be clear, if I offer something to avodah zarah, that's takrovis. If I accessorize an avodah zarah with something, that's noy. But just to dedicate something, that doesn't work. There's nothing such as no such animal as dedicating something to avodah zarah. If you have an avodah zara with a garden in front of it or a bathhouse in front of it, so you can get benefit from the garden, you can get benefit from the bathhouse, shelo bitova, however, without tova. What does that mean? There's a Rashi over here that's a little strange. There's only one Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi writes right on the bottom of the page in Rashi's. Nenin meimene shelo betova, shelo ya'le schar lekomrim. You can't pay the priest. So you can go to the Avodah Zarah bathhouse, meaning, what does that mean, Avodah Zarah bathhouse? Meaning that it is in front of an Avodah Zarah, it's next to an Avodah Zarah, but you just can't pay the priest. The Ein Hekdesh L'Avodah Kochavim Kedamim Beperakol Kol Aslamim. Rashi makes a reference back to the sugya back on Mem Dalin Amud Beis, because there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a bathhouse of Avodah Zarah. It may be next to the Avodah Zarah, but it has no legal significance. Okay. What Rashi does not explain is what is the difference. What is that? You can go to the bathhouse because the bathhouse is not part of the Avodah Zarah. Good. And you can go to the garden and you can walk through the garden and that's not a problem as well. You can't, the Mishnah makes a distinction, you can't do it, you could do it shelo betova, but you can't do it betova. So Rashi here says this is a function of pain. Now, what needs to be explained, and I don't have the best explanation, what's the issue of pain? Meaning you're giving the priest the money and what?
They're supporting their avodah.
And that money then is going to be used, maybe. Maybe the money is going to be used to upkeep the avodah zarah, and maybe that's going to be the issue. I say it's strange because if you go back to Mem Dalin Amud Beis, where the Gemara has this very same discussion, and you look at Rashi back in Mem Dalin Amud Beis, shelo betova, so Rashi says, shelo yachzik tova lakomrim. Right? And that sounds like you shouldn't, like, give him a congratulations, a pat on the back, great job, be right, beautiful, beautiful bathhouse, love it, love what you did with it, right? And that's what Rashi sounds like on the Mem Dalet Sugya. So he changes his tune a little bit. I'm not the first one who made this observation. Many Rishonim, the Tosfos back on Mem Dalet Beis, made this observation as well. So it's a little bit strange what exactly it is, Betova and Shelo Betova.
Okay. Well, different back then, Aphrodite was supposedly a beautiful, beauty place. Right.
It sounds, the Rashi back on Mem Dalet Beis sounds more appropriate for that whole discussion. Because if you remember that discussion, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, how did Rabbi Gamliel go in there? Right? And so the Gemara says, oh, it must have been that he went in Shelo Betova. And the Gemara says, no, no such thing, because Rabbi Gamliel is always Betova. Right? And the way I explained it back in Mem Dalet Beis, that means, right, where's the line, the Gemara over here? Here it is. Shelo Betova Rabbi Gamliel, kibetovas acherim dami. Right, he's always in a state of Tova. And the way I explain it back on Mem Dalet Beis is that he's so important, he's so significant, the moment he walks into your bathhouse, it's like, oh my gosh, right, Rabbi Gamliel's here.
Right?
Lahavdil, right? You know, you have a a famous person walk in, and it's like, oh my gosh. So, right, that's what Rabbi Gamliel was like. And in the context of the Gemara over there, certainly understand, Tova and Shelo Betova is all about getting credit, right? Not a monetary consideration. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Fine. Jointly owned partnership. Okay, so it's not a. What kind of corporation is this? It's part owned by the Avodah Zarah, part owned by the lay leadership. What does that mean? As a board of directors? No. Limited partnership. Anyway, the Hayah Shalav Shal Acherim. Nenin Mehen Be Metova Shal Betova. If the proceeds are going to go to a private entity, even though it's part owned, meaning it's part private entity and part Avodah Zarah, that's fine. And there's no problem. There, then you could use a consideration. You can use it even with a consideration. And finally, okay, here we go. Here's the one of the bigger discussions throughout the Masechta. This line of the Mishnah is a key point throughout the Masechta. When does something become Avodah Zarah? Okay? When you make it or when you worship it? So it's going to get complicated because there's a difference between Jew and non-Jew, and there's a machlokas what that difference is. Okay? Say it one more time. There's a difference between Jew and non-Jew, and there's a machlokas what that difference is. Now the good news is for today is that our Mishnah is very clear. Our Mishnah has a very clear and authoritative position that when you have an avodah, it's kocham mishol v'kocham mistur miyad. The moment they make it, the moment they fashion it, that now has the status of avodah zarah even before it's actually worshipped. And then, however, if it's an avodah zarah of a Jew, meaning a Jew, God forbid, really goes so far astray that he's starting to make avodah zarah, that avodah zarah does not become avodah zarah until they actually worship it. Now, here what the Gemara is going to do is, first of all, tell us that this is a machlokas, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and our Mishnah subscribes to the view of Rabbi Akiva, and that's the accepted halacha, like Rabbi Akiva. Good. And then what the Gemara is going to do, and we're going to spend a lot of time doing this today, is dissect psukim in terms of how it is that Rabbi Akiva subscribes to his view, and Rabbi Shmuel does subscribe to his view, and it's going to be very clinical, and it will be a little bit dry. Okay, but that's what the Gemara does under such circumstances. Just from a simple hashkafic standpoint, right here, meaning even without the psukim and without any of the without any of the drashas, just think about it on the simplest level, right? In other words, an avodas kochavim has more of a propensity towards the avodas zarah. The moment that he fashions it, already gained status. By a Jew, it's, you know, he's more removed from avodas zarah. So for him, you got to actually see him worship it. Okay, it's simple. It's nice. It's not neat, though. It's not a good way to bundle this halacha. Because look, avodah zarah is just as usher to them as it is to us, right? One of the seven Noahide laws is you're not allowed to be over avodah zarah. So, it may be a nice way to look at it, but just from a legal standpoint, there really shouldn't be a difference between Jew and non-Jew in terms of when something gains the status of avodah zarah. Amar Abaye. So first of all, we're going to spend just a couple minutes on this tova, on the tova. Amar Abaye b'tova, we talked about a consideration, and again, Rashi and our Mishnah says it's a monetary consideration. B'tovas komrim, shlo b'tova, shlo b'tovas komrim, la'afuke tovas ovdeha deshare. So if you pay the priest, that's an issue. But if you pay one of the members of the avodah zarah, right? So that's okay. Now, some take this qualification of Abaye and shift it to the second part of the Mishnah. If there's a partnership, so then that's okay. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, no, it depends who you pay. So the Gemara says, now it's important to know when Abai is making this qualifying statement, is he making it on the ratio or on the Seifa? So if he's making it on the Seifa, for sure the ratio would be okay. If he's making it on the ratio, if he's making on the ratio, then you're not so sure about the seifa. Okay. All right, we'll spend a lot of time now on this question of when does avodah zarah gain its status of avodah zarah. And here we go now. Here's a braisa that fleshes out the entire debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. As of yet, we haven't even seen that it's a machlokus, but it is. The Tanya. So the pasuk says that you should obliterate all the places where the goyim worship. Now the Torah is very clear; it does say the word mekamos, and the Gemara, the Brisa, I should say, interjects, and the Brisa says bekelim shenisham shemahem labos kochav makasav medaber. We're talking about utensils made by the avodas kochavim. Now, yachol asum velo gamrum, gamrum velo evim, evim velo nishtamshu behem, yachol yihu asurim tamalamar, asher avdusham hagayim, they had to have worshipped it. Shein asurim ad sheyaavdu. It doesn't become asur until they actually worshipped it. Now, immediately you say, wait a second, that's not our Mishnah. Correct. That's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah subscribes to the Rabbi Kiva view. This is not Rabbi Kiva. Mikan Amar Avodas Kochavim Shal VeKochav Mein Asur Ad SheTayaved V'Shei Yisrael Asur Miyad Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so in Rabbi Yishmael's view, an idol made by a non-Jew obtains status only when it's worshipped. An idol made by a Jew obtains status immediately, even before worshipping. Rabbi Kiva Amar Chiluv Hadvarim Avodas Kochav Shal VeKochav Masur Miyad V'Shei Yisrael Ad SheTayaved. Period. Okay, that's the Braisa. Braisa tells us now that there is a machlokus. The Braisa gives us a little bit of drasha, not a lot, and the Braisa gives no drasha whatsoever, no svar whatsoever for Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Amar Mar. And here's what the Gemara does. It takes the Braisa and it dissects it. B'kelim sh'nisham sh'mehem la'avodas kochav makasav medaber. The first thing the Gemara quoted a pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. And the pasuk says, "Aveita veidun es kol mekamos asher avdu sham hagoyim." You should destroy all the places where the goyim worshipped. And immediately the Braisa went to, that doesn't mean places, that means kelim. And the Gemara says, how did they do that? Ha mekamos ksiv. It says mekamos. Imeino inyan mekamos v'lo mitzvah dichsiv Eloheihem al harim. V'lo harim Eloheihem. Taneo inyan lekelim. Okay. So there the Gemara says, oh, I know why that happened. Because places don't become usar. Right? We talk about this. This is already was a big discussion in the third parak. Locations do not become usar. Property does not become usar. Anything which is ground related just remains a ground impervious to avodah zarah. So when the pasuk says you got to destroy the mekamos, it's not true. It's not correct. So mekamos must here be translated more loosely. It must mean kalim. We're now on the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, top line. Mikan Amru Avodas Kocham Shal VeKocham In Asura Ela Ad SheTeAved V'Shal Yisrael Miyad. So the Gemara now comments on that line of the Braisa. V'Habekalim UKimnala Amakra Asher Tem Yoshim Osam Es Elohehem. We have a Hekesh. Mekish Elohim LaKelim MaKelim AshYavdu Af Elohehem Nami Ad SheYavdu. Okay, so even though we're talking about kelim, which are things that are used to serve the avodah zarah, but we have a hekesh between kelim and their gods and their deities. Just like their kelim need to be worshipped, so too their deities need to be worshipped in order to gain status. Rabbi Kiva delo mekish amlecha es hifsik ha'inyan. Rabbi Kiva makes no hekesh. Correct. For him, the word S is a hefsek. It actually serves as a separation in the pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel Ashkechan Avodas Kocham Shal VeKocham Din Asur Ashtavei Diyisrael Asur Miyad Menale. Good. Now we move on to the next part of Rabbi Shmuel.
Why is the S? Why
would
is that? S is the
meaning
of hefsek.
It's the S that Asher Atem Yishim Asam S Elohim
Alarim.
No, yeah, right.
And it just
means usually S is a reboy. Correct. We don't right. It's not normal.
It's the opposite of reboy.
Correct. It's not normal. Right. Point well taken. It's not normal that an S comes to break it up.
And logically, Rabbi Yishmael makes much more sense. It may, that a Jew, even with intent, when they create the idol, it can become usher. But a non-Jew, the intent is less important. So there has to be the action.
Right. Okay.
I'm saying both the logic and
the textual favors Rabbi Shmuel. Good. Yeah. So Miyan Menale. Now, here's the next part. The next part is, where does Rabbi Shmuel get the idea that if a Jew makes a Avodah Zarah, so it becomes usur immediately? Right? Where does that come from? Because in the Braisa, which is again quoted on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, it only quotes a pasuk that talks about the avodah zarah of an avodas kochavim of a non-Jew. So, where does he get that there's a difference for a Jew? So the Gemara starts off with a svara. Svara hu midavik kochavim shetehavad yisro asur miyad. Okay, so by process of elimination, if a non-Jew's idol becomes prohibited only at the point where he worships it, it must mean that by a Jew it's immediate. The Gemara says, no, you can't let Svara be your guide over here. Because if that's true, I could give just another Svara. Ema Yisrael Klal Kalon. So the Gemara says, maybe it never gained status. Now, at this stage of the Gemara, what the Gemara is suggesting, it's very interesting. Gemara is suggesting that the never gained status, and what? We know there's a prohibition in the Torah of idolatry. And I guess what the Gemara is suggesting, and we're going to scale back in just a moment, but still, at this stage of the Gemara, what the Gemara is suggesting, kind of like what we've seen Rashi say earlier, that something is not an Avodah Zarah, and meanwhile, if you worship it, you're an idolater. Right? We had that discussion back when describing the mountains. Right? You worship a mountain. Mountain never becomes usur, but meanwhile, you're an idolater. So here also, at this stage of the Gemara, what the Gemara is suggesting is, the idol never becomes an idol if a Jew makes it, but he's an idolater. Okay. Hashaganiza bai yitzur la mitzvah. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You need geniza. So if you need geniza, it's clear that it becomes usur. We'll come back and explain how we know that. Ve'ema kedovei kochavim. So the Gemara says very simply, okay, but why are you assuming that there's a difference between Jew and non-Jew? Why don't you just simply say that they're the same? Oh, finally, now the Gemara quotes a pasuk. And you know what you did? You made the eagle. And obviously the key over here is asisem. Mishas asiya kamle bechet. Ah, from the moment you made it, already it was a chet. Emahani mila makem gavra bechet. Gemara says, fine. But that doesn't mean that that's an avodah zarah. It just means it's a sin to make it. But itzur lo mitzura, but it doesn't actually gain status until it's worshipped. Amakra, so here we go to the brachos and klalos. In Parashas Kisavo, Arur ha'ish asher ya'asa pesel u'masecha, mishas asiya kam lei ba'arur. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you look over here, now this is the brachos and klalos that were said at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And over here, this is obviously one group of Jew talking to another group of Jew. So this is Avodah Zarah of Jew. And it says, cursed be the person asher ya'asa pesel. And once again, we have the verb of ya'asa. Again, the Gemara makes the same deflection. Maybe that's just a curse. But the Avodah Zarah doesn't gain status until it's actually worshipped. Yitzur lo mitzura. Tovas Hashem ksiv. The Gemara says, no, because it's an abomination. And the word abomination usually means status. It means that, no. The moment that it's formed, it's already a toeva. It is abominable. The idol is an idol. Okay. And Rabbi Akiva, who we haven't even discussed his position yet. But just right now, what is he going to do with that pasuk? Rabbi Akiva, davar hamevili di toeva. And the Gemara says, yeah, it means it's not necessarily now a toeva, but just wait and see. The moment it gets worshipped, it will be a toeva. Okay. That so far has been a discussion of Rabbi Shmuel. Good. Now the Gemara is going to turn all of its attention to Rabbi Akiva. And it is strange because back in the Braisa, we had no Sfara for Rabbi Akiva. We had no Pasuk for Rabbi Akiva. The Braisa just said, four lines from the bottom of the previous Amud, Rabbi Akiva Amar Chilufa Dvarim, Avodas Kochav Shal Vekochav Masur Miyad, V'sheiso Ad Sheteyave. Period. So now the Gemara discusses, Rabbi Akiva Avodas Kochav Shal Vekochav Masur Miyad Minale, Amarul Amakrop, Silei Elohim Tisrafun Be'esh, Mishe Paslu, Nase Eloha. It becomes a deity from the psul, from the pestle, I should say, the moment they etch it out. That's when it becomes Asar. The Edach.
What word should it have used?
It could have used. Yes.
So why did he think it was
Mishnah? Because he's looking at it as a noun and as a verb.
What word should he have used?
Maybe it could have just simply said Elohei Agoyim. The Edach Aumi Baile Lechad Rav Yosef did Nir Rav Yosef Minay Lo Vekocham Shaposel Elohei Shenemar. Psile Elohim Tisrufun Be'esh. Rabbi Shmuel says no. You're right. The word, the pasuk does say the word psile, but you assume that means engraving and etching. No, it actually comes from the word pasul, which means that a goy has an ability to disqualify an avodah zarah. The idach, and by the way, Jews don't. We don't have an ability to posel an avodah zarah. The idach nafkalei midishmol dishmol rami ksiv lo sachma kesef zav aleim ksiv lakach talach hakesad paslul aloha lo sachmud. Paslul aloha lo sachmud paslul meloha velakach talach. All right, so Rabbi Akiva generates that same halacha, but from a different source, from the source that's given by Shmuel. Obviously, Shmuel's an Amora, but you'll have to say that Shmuel had this tradition from generations earlier. Rabbi Akiva, Ashkechan Avos Kocham Shal Vekocham Dasur Miyad, Diyisra Ad Sheteyaven Meinalan. Now we move on to the next stage in Rabbi Akiva, which is, how do you know, according to Rabbi Akiva, that by a Jew it has to be worshipped? Am Rabbi Yehuda Makra, V'sam B'seser. He places it in a hidden place. Again, we're back in the Tochacha, the brachos and klalos are sent to Har Gerizim Har Eval. Ad sheyaseh ledvarim shebeseser. He does private things, which means he worships them. The idach umibay lelechad Rav Yitzchak damar Rav Yitzchak minan lavos kocham sheyso shetuna geniza shenemar v'sam beseser. So the Gemara says that no, Rabbi Shmuel's response to that would be, V'sam b'seser means no. The Torah is telling us, here's what you do with an Avodah Zarah, you put it in Geniza. It requires Geniza.
So in other words, a Jew does it in private, where the other one does it publicly?
This is Rabbi Kiva's learning out from this pasuk that the Jew, this is clearly talking about the idol of a Jew, owned by a Jew. Because this is brachos and klalos, given by one Jew to another Jew. So Rabbi Kiva learns out from this pasuk, you actually have to worship it. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's just telling you what to do with it, which is put it in Geniza. Interesting, by the way, what does it mean put it in Geniza? Now, what I would have said is buried in the ground. I would have said that because, to me, that's what Geniza means. I'm supported by Rashi. Rashi says, Shetu'una Geniza, de cheshehi shlema, Genuza Bekarka. You bury it, you put it down in the ground. That's what Geniza means. Because that's usually what Geniza means.
There's nothing off from burying in the ground. We discussed it as a fertilizer and stuff before. So we had the whole concept that it has to be thrown in the Dead Sea, that there's no hanafah from
it. Right, you can't, right, you have to grind it up, you have to right. You have to destroy it. Correct.
Throw it in this.
Simple
meaning
the
possible.
For sure. Why you have to grind up is if it's in Eretz Israel. If it's not in Eretz Israel, you don't have to destroy it. Is that true?
Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Of the Hanah issue, what would make a difference? Okay. Right. Well, it must be the material. It's made up. It's not something which is used for
life. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry for the pause. Third toast was on the page. We didn't get to this point in the Gemara yet, I understand. But third Tosfos on the page says, no, that's not what Geniza means over here. Kamo klishar, zarmina shegenuza, af asherah, tu'una geniza, perish, bir belo hana'a. Tosfos says it means destruction. Kamo, ego sheshachku v'zaru. Right? It's in the context of Avodah Zarah, and it's what we're used to throughout the whole discussion of Avodah Zarah. We're talking about Geniza, really, here in the context of Avodah Zarah, doesn't mean bearing. It means burning and destruction. Back to the Gemara. The Idach. Nafkalei Medarav Chista. According to Rabbi Kiva, how do I know Geniza is required? Amarav. Midrash Chista Amirav, Amirav Chista Amirav, Minan Lo Avikocham Sheyisor Shetuna Geniza Shenemar Lo Sito Lecha Asher Kol Eitzei Tam Mizbech Ma Mizbech Tam Geniza Af Ashera Teuna Geniza. Just like Mizbech requires Geniza, same thing is true by an Asher. Asher requires Geniza. The Ida Chaumi Baile Lechadrei Shlakish Damer Shlakish Kol Amam Dayan Sheino Hagon Kilo Notei Asher Rabbi Yisrael. Anyone who sets up a Dayan who is inappropriate, a judge who should not be a judge, and you appoint him. It's like putting an Asherah right in the middle of Yisrael. And then right next to that pasuk, you'll find Samech Lei Lo Sita Lecha Asherah Kol Eitz. Period. Amar Rav Ashi, just one more point about this inappropriate dayan of a makom tamidei chachamim, and where there's a lot of tamidei chachamim, and in that place you appoint an inappropriate judge, ki ilu nato eitzel mizbeach shenemer eitzel mizbeach. Okay, fine. Good. So far, so good. Here's what we have right now: a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. When something achieves the status of avodah zarah. Our Mishnah, which is written anonymously, is like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which is that if it belongs to a non-Jew, it gains status immediately, the moment it's fashioned. We now know because of the Gemara that he learns it from the Pasuk of Psilei Eloheihem Tisrafun Ba'esh. The word Psilei over here is the formation. And by a Jew, however, it needs to be worshipped. And that is
by a non-Jew.
Huh?
By a non-Jew, it has to be a worship.
Or by anyone?
No, by himself.
I'm sorry. Wait. No. By a non-Jew. Now, I'm just explaining Rabbi Kiva's view.
By a non-Jew, it has to be worship. By himself?
No. By a non-Jew, this is Rabbi Kiva. By a non-Jew, it's a sur miyad.
Right. No, he's asking if a Jew makes it, who worships?
Who has to worship it to become a full-fledged
Avodah Zarah? We saw earlier, that's a good question.
That's what he said.
No, I'm sorry. We saw earlier that could be anybody. could be anybody that worships it. As long as hold it. only if he worships himself.
He makes it and worships.
Nobody can come along and worship it and make it prohibited. And not also davishena shalom. You can't forbid something that doesn't belong to you, but we saw this Gemara earlier. If somebody comes along and he says, "Look, well, look what I just made. You want to worship it?" And they worship it, so that would be okay. That would not be okay. That makes it avodah zara. And according to Rabbi Akiva, if a Jew makes it, so then it actually needs to be worshipped. And this actually is generated from the psukim of the bracha and klala hagrizim and har eval. And the pasuk says v'sam b'seiser, which according to Rabbi Akiva means, and he takes it into his house and he does an act of avodah zara with it. Okay, that's Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees, but in the halacha, the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva.
He needs to be worshipped by anybody, or by himself.
He has to worship it.
He has to worship.
But a Jew does it privately and secretly, so
you cannot make it.
The question that I have, how do you know when he does it?
You know when he does it when he says to you, I did it, or somebody sees that he does it.
If he makes it, he has to worship with himself.
No, and for a Jew, according to Rabbi Akiva, as soon as he makes it, he's not allowed to make it.
He's not allowed to make it, but it doesn't gain status. The Avodah Zarah doesn't gain status as an Avodah Zarah until it's actually worshipped. That's Rabbi Akiva.
And Rabbi Shmuel says
just the opposite. Just the opposite. That's why it's confusing. It's a strange machlokas. Meaning there's a presumption of a difference between Jew and non-Jew. That is a common denominator. And the only question now becomes is what that difference actually is. And so Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel flip on each side of the of that coin. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. It's a funny question. I say it's a funny question because it's not a straightforward question. The question here is, I have a utensil that is used as tashmishi avodah zara. It serves avodah zara. It's a pot, it's a pan, it's a kli, whatever. And it broke. And what happens now is that you bang it and you fix it for usage again. Okay? So, avodas kochavim daman. So, first of all, the Gemara wants to know who owns it, right? Because as we now know, that's important. Elam avodas kochavim daven kochavim ben l'Rabbi Shmuel ben l'Rabbi Akiva misham she'avodas kochavim hein u'misham she'avodas kochavim ein aser ad she'yavdu. So, look, if it belongs to a non-Jew, there's a consensus of view, finally, right? There's an agreement. And the agreement is that has to be used. To make it is not enough, that has to be used. And remember that comes from the top of the page. Asher tam yorshim osam es Eloheihem, mekish Eloheim lekelim. Ma kelim achiavdu af Eloheim nami achiavdu. When it comes to kelim and utensils used for avodah zarah, usage gives it its status. Fine.
So in this case, it already was used. Now it's just being repaired.
The alavos kocham di yisrael aliba daman. So the Gemara says, and now what? So now you want to say that it belongs to a Jew. So ilem aliba the Rabbi Kiva ashe he gufa lo mitzvah shetaved misham sheha mi baye. Look. If it's Rabbi Akiva talking, he has to wait to worship an idol.
Right.
Certainly the halach is not going to change in terms of kalim of an avodah zarah. So the Gemara says maybe this whole question is very limited and it's only going according to Rabbi Yishmael. Do we say that according to Rabbi Yishmael, I know Kalim of an Avodah Zarah owned by a guy is not, does not gain status until it's used. So maybe over here also, or maybe it's compared to the actual idol. An idol fashioned by a Jew becomes usher instantaneously. Maybe the same thing is true regarding the Mishamshim. So the Gemara says, I'm so confused because the question is a little convoluted. Why are we talking about fixing a kli? Why can't you just ask the question so straightforward? You made a kli to serve an avodah zarah. When does it gain status? Why don't you ask that question? So Rav Aminun, Mishum Tumi Yishana Kami Baile. The Gemara says, you know what? Oh, because really, there's another question that's being asked at the same time. And that's the issue of Tuma. We have already learned that avodah zarah is Tame. Kalim of an avodah zarah is Tame. This is not Tuma d'Oraisa. This is, as we've learned already a number of times, this is only Tuma d'Rabbanan. Now, here's what we know. Did not. The Mishnah and Kalim teaches us the following. Kli matachos, pshutehem, umekableim, tameim. Metal becomes tame, even if it does not have a receptacle. Mishnah and Kalim, very straightforward halacha. Nishtabru, taharu. You break it, it becomes tahor. It loses its tuma. If it had tuma, huh?
Even the metal?
Yeah. Nishtabru, taharu. Chazer v'asan kelim yachzeru l'tuma yeshana. Says the Mishnah in Kalim. If you break it and then you fix it, the tuma comes back. Now let's understand. Mina Torah, the tuma does not come back. Okay, no, because mina Torah, the moment you break it, it's no longer a clay. When you fix it, panim chadashos ba'u lekan. It's new, it's totally new entity. And so what does that mean? The tumah goes away and the tumah comes back, right? It's like a coal that just won't go away. What is that? How do you understand that? So the way to understand it, the correct way to understand it, is that this is a gzeira d'rabbanan. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, daf tet zayin amud beis. This is the Gemara that discusses the Shmona Sadavar Bein Shammai and Beis Hillel. And this is the gzera of Tumah Yisharu. Why do the rabbis make such a gzera interesting? The reason why they made such a gzera, says Rashi, according to the Gemara and Shabbos, is because, here's a story. When I take a kli, I break it, and I fix it, min haTorah, it's good. Good to go. Right? Because it's a totally new keli. What if I don't break it? What if I tovel in the mikvah? You know what the story is? I gotta wait till nightfall. A kli that has tumah, real tumah d'oraisa, needs harav shemesh. Literally, that means the setting of the sun. Okay? And here's what the chachamim were afraid of. They were afraid of, look, break it, fix it, let's go. Right? Let's go forward. People will think, oh, tovel in the mikvah, take it out. Okay, good, let's go forward. Not realizing that there's this thing called harav shemesh. Okay, good. So in order so that people don't get confused, so what the Chachamim said is, you know what? Break it, fix it, still Tame. That's a Tumah d'Rabbanan. Okay. And so now follow the Gemara, because the Gemara has now an excellent logical progression of question now. So now the Gemara says like this.
So you can never untame it?
Mid-Rabbanan. Correct.
As long as it's fixed.
Right. Yachzu l'tuma yishana. V'hachi kami baile. Ki hadra tuma hanimi l'tuma d'araisa. Aval tuma d'rabbanan lo, odim lo shna. So the Gemara says like this. Look, what if the tuma to begin with is a tuma d'rabbanan? Like our discussion right now, which is the tuma of avodah zarah. The tuma of avodah zarah is only a tuma d'rabbanan to begin with. So is the gzera of tuma yishana gonna apply to Tumah d'Rabbanan? Okay, now we're talking. It's a gzera on top of a gzera. Now, first, the Gemara says v'ti baile. We'll finish up over here with this progression. V'ti baile shar Tumah d'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a great question, but why speak specifically of the Tumah of avodah zarah? You really could have asked it more generically by any Tumah d'Rabbanan, and there's many out there. So chada migo chada kami baile. Tumah d'Rabbanan mihadra elo hadra. The Gemara says, you're right. It's really the more generic question of Tumah d'Rabbanan, does that come back? And im timtza lomar lo hadra. And if you're going to tell me, generally it doesn't, but maybe Tumah d'Avodas Kochavim, Mishum Chomer d'Avodas Kochavim, Mishavi Rabbanan, could Tumah d'Oraisa elo, but maybe by the Tumah of Avodah Zarah, that's even though it's the Rabbanan, higher level the Rabbanan, because we hate avodah zarah, right? Shaketz to shaketzenu, and so therefore maybe this Tumah d'Rabbanan is given more right? More oomph, more status. Okay. And maybe the Tumah Yishana would come back. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay? Good. Okay, we talked this morning about accessories of an Avodah Zarah. We talked this morning about dedicating something to an Avodah Zarah. Ein Hekdesh La'Avodah Zarah. And then we got on to the most basic discussion today about when something gets a status of Avodah Zarah. Depends who makes it, Jew or non-Jew. Depends if it's worship. Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And we follow like Rabbi Akiva, by a non-Jew, it becomes usher immediately. By a Jew, it needs to be worshipped.